You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 4th of July 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, a very happy Independence from Britain Day to our American listeners. You supposedly have freedom over there. You certainly have more freedom over there as far as speech is concerned. America really does lead the way with freedom of speech, but I do know that people will still lose their jobs for being politically correct, but it is a little bit harder for the state to use the police to repress what people are saying. But I don't really want to be talking about freedom of speech today. The news article that I've got to begin with actually comes from Ireland, and it's about the left-wing creep into education, particularly in the examinations that the school children go through at the end of their schooling period. A populist politician in Ireland has slammed the country's state exams as containing pure propaganda after pupils were presented with documents promoting Black Lives Matter and concepts like white privilege and microaggressions. And Black Lives Matter is particularly partisan. If they're going to include Black Lives Matter, surely they should also be including White Lives Matter and the White Lives Matter movement. There's certainly nothing wrong with black people advocating for black people, pointing out that there are higher numbers of them that end up getting killed by police and that they are concerned about that. But why shouldn't white people also be able to talk about how they are concerned about the rates of immigration into their countries? Why is it that it's okay for black people to advocate for better conditions for themselves, but it's not okay for white people to advocate for better conditions for white people? And when you're talking about education is not supposed to be partisan. They're not supposed to promote one political view over another political view. And the way they get around this is they say, well, Black Lives Matter is anti-racist and racism is a bad thing and everybody is anti-racist, so everybody should be supporting Black Lives Matter. But it's not as simple as that. Black Lives Matter's solution to racism is to have more punishments for white people for criticizing immigration or for criticizing aspects of immigration that involve black people. They also advocate for diversity quotas. They advocate for people to be given jobs because of what race they are, positions in government, all those sorts of things. And that's their solution to racism. As a nationalist, my solution to racism would be to simply have segregation. If people lived in homogenous communities, if we didn't have multiculturalism but we had monoculturalism, then you wouldn't be able to have any racism. You wouldn't be able to have any discrimination. And this does actually tie in with some of the suggestions that Black Lives Matter make. I mean, they say that they want to have black teachers for black pupils because it's much easier for them to identify with a teacher of their own ethnicity. They say that they want to have more black judges, more black police, because the judges and the police are then going to be more culturally sensitive to their own ethnicity. They're going to be more culturally sensitive to black people and understand them, understand when they're not likely to have broken the law, for instance. So they make these sorts of suggestions that they want to see more black people around them, which is a completely natural thing to do, but it's completely natural if you're white to want the same. And if you're going to start replacing white people with black people in the schools, then obviously the white people are then not going to be able to empathize with the teacher. So the solution is to have segregation. I don't believe that is a racist thing to say, because it is similar to what Black Lives Matter are saying when they say that they want to see more black people around them. It's just a different solution to racism. But of course, they won't promote that. They will only promote the Black Lives Matter solution to it. And this is why it is political. This is why you can say Black Lives Matter is on the left of politics. And that's why it shouldn't be being used in schools. Also, we have here these concepts like white privilege, which is singling out white people and claiming that white people don't get to where they are through hard work or through saving. It's simply a privilege that white people have, and white people don't get it so hard as black people do. And you can look at these statistics and you can say, well, there's a lot of poverty in the black community, but there's also poverty in the white community. And when we look at statistics, the group in society that is the most let down is white working class boys. They're the ones most unlikely to actually get into university, because we have all these programs and policies to try and help black people. And if we try to put in place programs and policies to help white people, we're accused of racism. That's white privilege. That's white privilege there. And then you've got this microaggressions thing, which is simply people not being up to date enough with politically correct terminology. People who are anti-racist that are trying their best not to see color, for instance, and then they can be accused of a microaggression because they didn't see color and they weren't culturally sensitive. So, and again, it's something that only white people can be guilty of. So these are very partisan subjects that are being introduced into the state exams in Ireland. Herman Kelly, the president of the Eurosceptic Irish Freedom Party, has slammed two countrywide exams administered in Ireland on Tuesday, that's Tuesday last week, as containing pure propaganda that is worthy only of a communist state. Pupils taking the politics and society subject as part of Ireland's leaving certificate exams, an examination process similar to England's A-level system, which largely determines what universities a high school leaver is able to go to, were presented documents praising Black Lives Matter and promoting the concepts of white privilege and microaggressions. And since this is the politics and society subject, what you would want them to be doing is being introduced to the right wing of politics and the left wing of politics and debating with themselves the merits of either point of view. And they're not doing that. They're just promoting Black Lives Matter, when what they should be doing is saying, well, this is Black Lives Matter point of view, and there are also other points of view in society, and argue from the point of view of an opponent to Black Lives Matter, argue from a point of view as an opponent to the nationalist or the populist ideal, and then work out which one you think is the most just or the one that you wish to support. That's the sort of thing that they should be teaching them, not telling them that there is only one political viewpoint to have, and it's the Black Lives Matter one, split into two different levels, higher and ordinary, for the purpose of assessing students of different competencies in the subject. Both of the nationwide exams conducted earlier last week contained material pushing concepts frequently associated with the far left. Again, that's interesting, because this is far left. I mean, one of the policies of Black Lives Matter is to abolish the police. You don't get more far left than saying that you want to abolish the police, but you will never see anything so-called far right in these exams. For example, in the ordinary level paper, students were asked to examine two sources and answer questions about undocumented migrants. And this phrase, undocumented, is a phrase that the newspapers like to use, that journalists like to use. And what they actually mean there is illegal immigrants, people that have broken into the country, who have thrown their passport away, thrown away their ID papers, and are saying, I don't know where I've come from. essentially, because they don't want to be traced. So it's people that have broken the law, that are trying to break into a country, that are trespassing, basically. And yet we have this politically correct term for them, undocumented migrants, when it should be illegal immigrants. The first source was an infographic titled Live Here, Work Here, Belong Here, published by the Migrant Rights Centre Ireland, containing various statistics regarding illegal immigration into Ireland. And obviously the Migrant Rights Centre, what they're talking about here is illegal migrants. So they're not just including the ones that have come here legitimately, that have applied to work in Ireland or work in Britain, and they've been given leave to do that. But they're also talking about the rights of people that haven't come here legally. The second source was an adapted extract from left-wing publication The Journal, which contained suggestions that a near-blanket amnesty for illegal migrants currently taking place in the country might not go far enough. Among the host of questions pupils were asked to complete on these documents, pupils were told to describe a citizenship project you could undertake based on organising an event to raise awareness about the plight of undocumented migrants into Ireland. And that's rather like asking pupils to organise an event to raise awareness about the plight of burglars that try to break into people's houses. Because if you're going to break into a country without your documents, you're going to try and sneak into the country, that is the equivalent of trying to sneak into somebody's house. I mean, that's what a country is. It's the equivalent of a giant house containing all the people that live within the house. And surely it should be up to the people who live in the house or the owner of the house who they open up the door to. Yet what these illegal migrants or undocumented migrants are doing is they are saying, we don't care what the owner of the house says, we're just going to break in anyway. Now, if they wanted to be unbiased in this and not partisan, what they would suggest doing is looking at this migrant amnesty and then get them to point out some of the negative effects that this migrant amnesty might have and some of the positive effects that it might have. They could say, well, some of the positive effects, obviously, it's going to be better for the migrants. If they want to work, they can work legally. They can take part in the economy. They can contribute to the economy. And that's the sort of thing that they will be promoting here. But they won't be talking about the negative aspects of it. They won't be talking about the fact that that means that there will be less jobs to go around. That means there will be less places in the school. That means there will be less places at the hospital. That means there will be less room on the roads. They won't actually talk about the negative aspects of this. And if they wanted to be unbiased and they wanted the pupils to actually learn and to learn how to educate themselves, that's what they would be teaching them to do. Try to see things from both points of view. Try to be objective about this and then decide which is the view that they wish to go along with. But instead of that, they're saying, oh, well, these pupils, they must go along with this. They must support amnesty for illegal migrants. And let's get them suggesting ways that can be done and how we can push to get even more rights for the migrants. And I mean, it's good enough that they're trying to get the pupils to think of other people, thinking of what these migrants' lives are like and how they could be improved, and that is a good thing. But surely what should come first is looking out for the lives of your own people. I mean, the migrants themselves are going to be looking out for their best interests, but who's going to be looking out for the Irish people's best interests if the next generation of students are being taught to put the interests of migrants first rather than the interests of their own people? Who is going to be looking out for the Irish people if the Irish people are not doing so and are looking out for the interests of migrants instead? Other notable questions within the paper include question AT. Describe two ways that Ireland benefits from being a member of the European Union. And question 7, using the infographic below, discuss issues of inequality in the world today and suggest what can be done to address these issues. And the latter of those two questions linked to another graphic referencing the Black Lives Matter movement. So you got 2 points there. You're encouraging them to talk about how great the European Union is. And I guess you could say, well, Ireland is a part of the European Union. But again, that is a political point of view that they are being given. There are plenty of Irishmen who don't want to be a part of the European Union. Ireland is supposed to have its own sovereignty, and yet any country that is a part of the European Union has ceded sovereignty to the European Union. And the European Union is not a democratic union. The people that run it are not elected by anybody in the countries that make up the actual union. So again, this is a political thing, and it's not supporting Irish sovereignty. It's supporting Ireland giving away its sovereignty to the European Union. And then with the question about inequality in the world today, obviously it's implying that this inequality has to be a racial inequality, and it's something that needs to be solved by Black Lives Matter's solutions to racial inequality. I dare say if one of these students was to say, well, one of the ways we could solve this inequality in the world today would be to have monocultural communities so that everybody in that community was equal, they would get accused of racism for suggesting that. But I really don't see how that is a racist point of view to have, because it would eliminate all possibilities of there ever being any discrimination at all, because you would only be living amongst your own people. It wouldn't be possible that you couldn't be given a job and that was because of what race you are. And when you have multiculturalism, I mean, it doesn't matter how many policies are put in place. There's always going to be that suspicion that you aren't where you are in life because somebody's discriminated against you. I mean, it could be that you don't get given a job because you're not qualified for it, but there's always going to be that suspicion there that, oh, well, it could have been because of my race. It could have been that the person would much rather have employed somebody of their own race, which is a natural thing to do, to want to help out your own people. And that's essentially what Black Lives Matter is doing, is it's black people helping out other black people. But it's a natural thing for people to want to help out their own families. And there's always going to be this suspicion there that is what is going on. And the only way you're going to get rid of that suspicion is if you have monocultural communities, if you have homogenous countries made up of people that are essentially very, very similar to one another. So similar that they couldn't have a suspicion of discrimination. I mean, that would literally get rid of racism outright. Yet these policies that these left-wing organizations come up with, none of them have managed to eliminate racism. If you do a poll and ask people whether there is still racism in the country, they'll all say, yes, there is. And a lot of them will say that there's a lot more racism than there was in the past. Do they have racism in countries like Iceland, which is like 99.9% white, I think? Perhaps they do now, because there's more and more immigration that is actually going into Iceland from people that are non-white. But do they have racism in China, where everybody's Chinese? Do they have racism in Japan, where everybody is Japanese? How can it exist if you have a homogenous community? The higher level paper was similar in tone to the ordinary level examination, with pupils being asked to consider two documents, the first of which discussed white privilege and microaggressions. And that is extreme left terminology. This whole idea of white privilege, which is essentially to make white people feel guilty about all the things that their ancestors did, which essentially were done for them. That's why we built the civilization that we have. That's why we went out and colonized these other countries. It was so that the next generations could benefit from that. And yet we're being told this is privilege that these people had. And a lot of them were working 16 hours a day down the mines or working in the textile industry. We had children that would lose limbs that were working in amongst the looms in the textile industry. We had children that were being sent up chimneys. I mean, they talk about the mistreatment of black slaves, but there was equal mistreatment of young white children that went on at the time. It's not that white people were privileged and never had to work to achieve anything, but that is the sort of mentality that is now being taught to children, and they're being told that they should feel guilty because their ancestors were slave owners. But slavery was just the system of employment that was there in the ancient world. White people, pretty much all white people have ancestors that were slaves. There was slavery in the Roman Empire. There was slavery amongst the Greeks. There was slavery amongst the Anglo-Saxons, amongst the Vikings, and slavery amongst the Arabs. And this is just the way that things went on. You could capture people in war, or you could get people that owed debts, and what they then had to do is work for the person that they'd been fighting against in the war. And after a certain amount of time, they could be freed. And what happened in Africa was that these African tribes would go to war against a neighboring tribe, and they would capture a load of them, and they would enslave them. And they would really mistreat them, these African tribes. If the owner of the slaves died, then all the slaves would be sacrificed and things like that. And some of these slave owners that owned slaves from the neighboring tribe, they sold them to merchants from America. And the merchants from America took them to America, where they were then sold to farmers. Farmers, pretty much the same as you get farmers today. And farmers are nice people, you know, that they're not bad people. And they would buy these slaves for the equivalent of about £10,000. And then they would feed the slave, they would put a roof over their head, they would give them medicine. When they were too old to work, they would give them a pension. And on the whole, the slaves liked their owners, and the owners liked their slaves, obviously, because they worked hard for them. It was a much better life being a slave for a white owner in Africa than it was being a slave for a black chieftain in Africa. Yet we're not told that. We're told that white people had this privilege and they enslaved black people. And in actual fact, it was white people that looked at the slavery system and said, well, this is really not on, you know. It's not right that we should not be giving the same freedoms to these black people that we have for our own people. And it was white people that did away with it. And it was black Africans that were the last to do away with it, and that really didn't want to let go of slavery. They refused. They said, well, we've been doing this for thousands of years. How dare you tell us to stop enslaving our fellow countrymen? They didn't really have a concept of actually being a country together, but they did understand that they had this system of slavery, and they were being told to stop it. I mean, when you think about it, if they had have had an understanding of them being a country, then why didn't they just stop it in Africa? If they wanted to stop slavery, why didn't they just do that and stop selling the slaves to the white merchants or to the Arab merchants when they came to the seashore? They didn't do that because that was a system that they had that functioned. Obviously, that's not a system that we have now, but we still require people to work. It's just that we pay them tokens of value for doing the work now. Instead of repaying somebody for doing the work with clothing and a roof over their head and food, we give people money, and then they can go out and buy the sort of house that they want, or they can buy the clothes that they want, so they have a little bit more choice than they did have 200 years ago. But it's essentially the same system. You have to work for your keep. Yet we're being told that this was incredibly evil, and it was white people that thought up this system. And I don't think it was. I think it was just the system that all peoples had, and particularly the Arabs mistreated these black slaves as well. But you don't hear about Arab privilege. You don't hear about Arab guilt and how wicked the Arabs were for slavery and how that built the Ottoman Empire and all of that. You only hear about it with white people. So this is biased. And this is partisan, and it should have no place in our schools. The second document was another infographic, this time from George Soros-linked Irish Network Against Racism and the NGO's so-called racism reporting system, iReport. And again, George Soros, left-wing. This is a non-governmental organisation, a left-wing one. And the Irish will say, how can you not be against racism? But that isn't what this is about. This is about left-wing solutions to racism. And they won't allow any right-wing solutions to racism to be heard. This latter document was also listed as being penned by Dr. Lucy Michael, a major anti-racist academic in Ireland, who became embroiled in a scandal after being recorded talking to an undercover conservative journalist in the country who was posing as a member of Antifa at the time. And the other point of this phrase, anti-racist, you can only be racist if you're white. So it's essentially saying anti-white. You don't ever hear of somebody black being accused of racism for prejudice against whites, for talking about whiteness or eliminating whiteness. You won't ever hear black people being called racist. It's only white people that can be called racist. So there was a popular phrase from a few years back saying anti-racist is a code word for anti-white, because it is only white people that can be racist. Getting back to this article here, and this undercover conservative journalist who was posing as a member of Antifa, when asked by this reporter from the Burkean if she was okay with getting potentially physical with the so-called far right and doing what needs to be done, she responded that she wouldn't say no, with the academic also describing her professional and personal opinion as being separate. So she's basically endorsing violence being used against people with a different opinion to her here. And this is quite a serious issue with the left. They all seem to think that violence is acceptable against people that have a different opinion. And the way they justify it is, well, it's not a different opinion. It's a racist. And racism is bad. Racism is wrong. And racists should be beaten up. And that's essentially their logic. Instead of looking at it as, well, this is somebody who has a different opinion. And rather than looking at them and saying, well, they must only have a different opinion to me because they're stupid, they should think, well, perhaps they have a different opinion because they know different things to them. Perhaps they've read different information. Perhaps they looked at different statistics. Perhaps they thought there is a better way of doing things to prevent discrimination, rather than silencing people's free speech, rather than having diversity quotas, rather than having lynch mobs on social media trying to censor people from having a different opinion. Perhaps they have a different way of doing things, but they would never know because they just want to shut down the debate. They don't know. A lot of them don't actually know what our opinions on the right are because we're banned from all the social media. And the left will say, oh, well, we should expose these people by debate, but you never end up having a debate because the people that are competent in arguing the nationalist point of view have all been removed from social media. You're not going to find them on Twitter or on YouTube or Facebook. Pupils were also asked a whole host of questions on the topic of climate change, including one on how the Irish government should interpret poll results regarding higher taxes on energy and fuel. So they're slipping that in there as well, which is another left-wing policy. And people might say, well, how is that a left-wing policy? Climate change affects everyone. But again, it's not the fact they're talking about climate change. It's the solutions that they have to climate change. The solution that they have is to have the equivalent of a world government, which is a left-wing idea, which is like the European Union, which is like the loss of sovereignty. I mean, how are you going to have taxes worldwide unless you have a worldwide government in order to collect the taxes? How are you going to have a legal system which punishes people for not doing whatever it is that the climate change advocates want them to do unless you have a world court? And all of those things are about losing sovereignty, their communist ideas, the New World Order mentality. It's a left-wing mentality. So it's not so much the science of climate change, it's the solutions that the people that are concerned about that put forward. I mean, what they should really be concerned about is the amount of plastic everywhere. But the amount of plastic everywhere isn't going to give the government an excuse to put taxes up, is it? Or to cede sovereignty to a supranational organisation. Speaking regarding the contentious exams, Brexit campaign veteran and former Irish schoolteacher Herman Kelly slammed the papers, saying that they were clearly not about education and debate, but the regurgitation of a worldview and value system formed by cultural Marxism. And this is really so sad about today's education. They don't teach students how to educate themselves, how to look at all the different points of view and be objective. They just teach students to repeat the narrative of the state, basically, the mainstream media, the narrative of diversity being wonderful. Diversity is a great strength, gay pride, all these modern ideas that go against everything that we had before in our civilization. And instead of debating them, instead of debating the merits of them, they just have to repeat them. They just have to repeat these things. And if they don't, they're likely to get investigated by Prevent. He said, "This is pure propaganda, well off the Richter scale and worthy only of a communist state." And he's also a former secondary school teacher of science, maths, classical studies and religious education. "All the far left shibboleths are in there," the Irish Freedom Party president continued. "Class warfare, climate action, gender ideology, pro-EU empire, pro-mass immigration. The most outrageous section is the fawning survey by Migrants' Rights Centre about people living in Ireland illegally. What it calls the undocumented. The state is using the education system to form the minds of impressionable and idealistic teens to become handmaids of big government and compliant repeaters of the latest things, be it trans rights or BLM when it arrives over from the USA. Kelly went on to conclude. And that's what it is. They know that when you're a teenager, you've got lots of energy and you want to do the right thing and you want to be a good person and you want a cause to get behind. So they get in there and they say, look at all of this. Look at how terrible these migrants are being treated. This is the cause that you want to get behind. And instead of giving them an objective view, pointing out the rights and wrongs, they just tell them all the wrongs and then they can use them to advance their own political agenda. Instead of teaching the children to think for themselves, they've essentially turned the children into left-wing activists pushing for a political agenda. And he finishes up by saying parents need to object to the infiltration of this material into the curriculum of schools. It is parents, not the state, who are responsible for their child's education, and it is time for them to take this task seriously. And it's just so sad that there are a lot of parents that aren't up to the standards of being able to homeschool their children, and they're working too much to be able to take the time to actually look at what their children are being taught, and they trust the state to give them a correct education, and the state is failing them. It's not giving them an objective education, and it's the children that are really going to suffer from this, and the next generation. But at least it's been pointed out, and at least there is an increase in homeschooling and an increase in the materials available for people that want to do homeschooling, particularly at the Patriotic Alternative website, which you'll find at patrioticalternative.co.uk. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.